So anyway, what we have here, thanks for getting my attention. I've got to grasp where I was at. Let me show you why I also believe that David was somewhat held captive. Not only those chapters we saw in Psalms, but look at this in verse 1. This is after he feigns that he's crazy or mad in front of Achish, and Achish lets him go. Look at this in verse 1 of chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And that phrase, escaped, I think, would indicate he was escaping from danger, from something. And so I'm convinced that when he went into Gath, he had this huge sword. The people thought, man alive, let's get that man, because they remembered the song, Saul hath killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And we talked last week, who were the tens of thousands that David had killed? Philistines. He wouldn't be your best friend either. And so it looks like God had enabled him to escape, but not a good chapter. Now remember this, David lied to Ahimelech. Ahimelech then helped David, gave him food, gave him a sword. I'm convinced if David had just told him the truth, he would have gotten the same food and the same sword. But now we go into chapter 22, and I just want you to see a few things. Oh, one caveat in chapter 21. It's this man Doeg. Look at this in verse 7 of chapter 21. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. While David's getting the bread, while David's getting the sword of Goliath, Doeg is there, and David saw him. That'll play in chapter 22. Well, early in chapter 22, David escapes to the cave of Adullam, and look at verse 2. I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but I find it interesting. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, unto David, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. I want you to know, I think it's a description of a Christian. You ought to be attractive. You ought to be willing. You ought to want the outcast, the distressed, those in debt. Everyone, the Bible says, that was discontented, they gathered themselves to David, and he became a captain over them, and he received them, and he accepted them, and that's a great testimony for the heart of David. We want the pretty people. We want the popular people. We want the people that have it all together, but I'm telling you what God says, those that he calls, those that he chooses, are usually not the pretty people, it's the outcast. And are we ready? Do we have the love? Do we have the persona that people that are rejects would be drawn to you and me? I fear not. But David had that, and I thought that was a great testimony for him. I find this interesting. Then in verse 3, his family all came to him. Ah, here's David, he's the son of Jesse, and he had 7 other brothers. A lot of family, they all came to him because David had been running for quite some time now. And they all came to him, and David goes where? To Moab. Remember that message I preached back in Ruth chapter 1? Yes, Pastor. It was entitled, Get Out of Moab. Remember that? No. But it was, Get Out of Moab. And now David's taking his whole family down to Moab. He's asking the king of Moab to protect his family. Any clue why he might do that? His great-grandmother, Ruth. His great-grandmother is Ruth, and Ruth is a Moabitess. She's from Moab. And Ruth may not be as popular as she is now, because we know that Jesus Christ came from the line of David, who God used Ruth with Boaz to have Obed, who had Jesse, who had David. That's what it tells us at the end of Ruth. It was his great-grandmother, so he had some connections with Moab. And he drops them off, and they take care of his family. The prophet comes in verse 5 and says, don't stay here, go escape. Then Saul hears that he escapes into the forest of Hereth, and Saul is whining to all his people. Why hasn't anyone told me where David is? Why didn't anyone tell me that my own son has turned against me? Look what Saul says. It's telling what Saul believes everybody's motivation is. Look at verse 8. That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son hath made league with the son of Jesse, and there is none that is sorry for me, or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up the servant against me to lie in wait at this day. I'm sorry, it was verse 7. Look at this. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about, how now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse, will he give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? He is telling them, has David bribed you? Has he said, I'm going to give you fields, I'm going to give you property, and I'm going to give you power. Has David promised you all kinds of riches? Has David promised you all kinds of power? That's what Saul thought would motivate anyone. And so he figured anyone that followed David had to be promised all kinds of things, and that's the problem. Saul did not know the Lord. And Saul thought he could motivate anyone by giving them more property, and more power, but he didn't understand the motivation of David, nor people that followed David. Then our man Doeg shows up. What a name. And he says, hey, I was over there in Nob, which is just north of Jerusalem, and he says, I saw Ahimelech give him some bread, give him a sword, and he inquired of God for David. I'm utterly convinced that he did not inquire of God for David. Ahimelech denies that later. Do you see that? You see where Ahimelech says this in verse 15? He says, did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For this thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. Saul was accusing Ahimelech of inquiring of God with the ephod, and he said, hey, God, will you have David defeat Saul? That didn't happen. Ahimelech said, that never happened. I didn't inquire of God for David. I'm not guilty of this. Saul says, you will die. I then do like this. Saul says, kill him! And he tells his servants to kill the 86 priests of Israel. And his servants didn't obey. Now let me tell you, that was a death sentence for them if Saul would have chosen. But what I love is, when you are told to do something that is wrong and sinful, never do it. I praise the Lord that the servants of Saul, when he said, kill all these priests, they didn't. But you know who did? Doeg. The Bible says that Doeg killed 85, and there's only one that escaped, and that's Abiathar. He killed 85 of 86 priests. He then went to the city of Nob and he killed all women and children and cattle, and he made a great slaughter. It may have been more than just Doeg, but it was Doeg and his men. And so tonight, the message is, don't be a Doeg. But what do we know about Doeg? Well, what I love is when we look at the Psalms, the book of Psalms gives us great insight. How did Doeg get to be where he was? Can you imagine this? Can you imagine being a man? And I don't think there's 85 of us here tonight. There's not 85 of us here tonight. How could you ever get to the place that if there were 85 preachers here and someone said, kill them, and you're willing to take a sword and kill them? You knew they represented holy things. They aren't perfect people, but you're willing to kill them. How does a man ever get to that point? How does a man ever get to that level? Well, the Bible tells us, Psalm chapter 52. Psalm chapter 52. Our text tonight is not going to be 1 Samuel 22. It's going to be Psalm 52. So turn in your Bibles to Psalm 52, because it's the story of Doeg. And the Bible tells us how Doeg got to be Doeg. How does a man get so low? How does a man get to the point where he's willing to slaughter 85 and he tried to kill them all? Now, I will give you this. I just want to remind you, Ahimelech was a descendant of Eli. Do you remember when Eli did not properly discipline his sons that the old prophet came to Eli and he said, there will be a day that there will be no old men in your house. 1 Samuel 22 is a fulfillment of that prophecy from early on in 1 Samuel. But here's what I want to tell you. It's exactly how God is in everything He does. Doeg was so evil. Doeg was so wrong. God was not pleased with Doeg. God was not happy with Doeg. Doeg is fulfilling and being judged for his sin today because there's no evidence that Doeg was a believer. But Doeg exactly accomplished the purpose of God, and Doeg exactly fulfilled the prophecy of God, though God was fully against it. That's what the Bible says, and we need to trust the Bible. Don't try to explain it away, but do you agree with that? It's okay if you don't amen, because I don't think you're ever going to amen, but occasionally one of these, this is not acknowledgement, if it stays, okay? This is good, okay? And so that'll help me know what you're thinking. Psalm chapter 52. It's not a long psalm, so some of you that are trying to judge, how long is preacher going to preach? Well, a preacher can preach on one verse for a very, very long time. So, just because it's 9 verses. But here's what I want to do. I want us to pick apart Psalm chapter 52, and here's what I want us to look at first. I want us to look at Doeg's sin. And so, guys, let me see here. Okay, have some patience there, Pastor, right? But look at verse 1. He says this. But here's what I want to tell you. How do I know this is about Doeg? Look at Psalm 52. Look at the description. How many of you, after I read this, I want to see a raise of hands. To the chief physician, Maskell, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. And now this psalm is about Doeg. Look at verse 1. The first thing I want to look at is Doeg's sin. There's 4 thoughts I have. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor. Let me see, Gail, if it'll work here. Okay, all right, sorry about that. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Verse 4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Here's what I want you to see. First thing is Doeg's sin. Look at verse 1. Why boasteth thyself in mischief? Parents, and each one of us here, I want you to notice this. It is a bad sign when you or your children begin to brag about sin. When you begin to brag about sin, you're going down the path of Doeg. Do you see that in verse 1? It says this. See if it works here. It doesn't. It says this in verse 1. It says, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief? He's bragging. He's bragging about his sin. Look at also in verse 2. He says, thy tongue deviseth mischiefs. Like a sharp razor working deceitfully. His tongue works deceitfully. So he's always lying, parents. And you here tonight, look at yourself. Are you bragging about sin? Only you know your heart. Are you bragging about sin? And then what comes along with bragging about sin is your tongue works deceitfully. You become a liar. This is the path that Doeg went down, and that's exactly why I believe God gave us Psalm 52, so you and I could learn from it. Number 3, look at this. Thou lovest evil more than good. Thou lovest evil more than good. Do you love sin more than you love righteousness? Parents, look at your children. Ah, they're bragging about sin. Ah, they always are lying. And they would rather do evil rather than good. Maybe they'll be a Doeg. And then number 4, it's this. Look at this in verse 4. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. His sin, he bragged about his sin. He lied about his sin. He loved evil more than good. And then number 4 there in verse 4, he loves devouring words. Do you know what devouring words are? Do you love words that just chew people up, spit them out, tear them down, rough them up, and you love it? You delight in tearing others down. That's Doeg. Do you understand this? Can you see Doeg? Doeg, he knew this. This is what Doeg wanted. We'll see this later in Psalm 52. Saul said, has David promised you lands and wealth and riches? Has David promised you power and captain of thousands? Doeg said, no, he hasn't, but Saul, that's what I want. I'll do whatever you want, Saul. But the way Doeg got there, his sin, listen to this again. He bragged about his sin. He lied about his sin. He loved sin more than good. And he loved seeing people torn down. No issues killing 85 of God's men. Second thing I want you to do is the result. Look at the result. Verse 5. This is the result. Doeg's sin. Now the result. Just two thoughts. God, verse 5, God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Verse 6. The righteous also shall see him and fear and shall laugh at him. Doeg's sin results in two things. Do you see that in verse 5? God's judgment's coming. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. David was speaking this about Doeg. If you want to be a Doeg, you want to brag about your sin, you want to lie about your sin, you want to enjoy sin more than good, and you love to see people devoured with words, God's judgment will be upon you. That's what God says. He says, likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. Now the second result should be this. Look at verse 6. The righteous shall see and fear. Do you see a Doeg? Do you know a Doeg? Here's what the Bible says. You see a Doeg, you shouldn't be like, you slimy worm, you tiny crumb. My dad, when I was in trouble, he'd call me tiny crumb. You know, that's an old Harlan County, Kentucky term, isn't it? I knew when I was in trouble, it was boy. And when he liked me, it was son. I don't know if he ever called me Steve, right? Boy. And then when he was really mad, you tiny crumb. Right? And so it's just, why did I go on that? But that's what he said. But anyway, here's what it says. What it says is this, when the righteous see God's judgment on others, we don't stand up and go, you dirty, rotten sinner. The Bible says the righteous will see. That's what it says here. Do you see that in verse 6? The righteous also shall see and fear. Folks, I want to let you know this. Are you a Christian? Others' sin and others' fall will cause you to fear God. It won't cause you to feel better, but if you're righteous, the sin of a Doeg will shake you and will cause you to fear because it could be you too. Oh yes, Mrs. Hall, it could be you too. You guys would be shocked. But the day she thinks she's above that, you will fall. Remember, when we see the sin of Doeg, the righteous will see and fear. I really didn't deal with that second part. I'll just give some small part. And it says, and shall laugh at him. It's not the laughing that you think of that we would have as like, man, God's judging you. It's not like that. They will laugh because they understand the judgment of God and they are gleeful that they escaped and they're joyful. You see, we should praise God if we escape. But most of all, we should see and we should fear. Doeg's sin. The result. Now, how did it happen? How did it happen? You know what I love about Psalm 52? What I love about the Bible? And I want to tell you this. Whenever you guys have to give a devotion or anything, let the Bible lead you. Verse 7 says, how did it happen to Doeg? Let's look at verse 7. There's three things I want. It says this, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Verse 7 explains exactly what Doeg did. You heard what Doeg's sins were, right? He bragged about sin. He lied about sin. He loved sin more than good, and he loved to see the destruction of others. Well, the result will be God's judgment. The result should be the fear of God's people. But how did Doeg get there? Verse 7. The first thing is, this is the man that made not God his strength. I want you to know this. When we go door knocking and we go witnessing of others, we meet people all the time. Their strength is them. You put your hope, you put your satisfaction, you put your confidence in anyone, anything but Jesus Christ, you could be set up to be a Doeg. What the Bible says in verse 7, it says, this is the man that made not God his strength. You want to make something else your strength and not God? Maybe you too will be a Doeg. Nobody wants to be a Doeg. Nobody names their kid Doeg. Do you know people actually name their kid Adolf? I'm thinking that not too many people would want to, right, after Adolf Hitler. Horrible, wicked man. But nobody names their kid Doeg. Nobody. Because he was evil and wicked and he killed God's men. He made not God his strength, this verse. Second, what I want you to see is, look at this. But trusted in the abundance of his riches. It's a money. I trust my money. I trust myself. I trust all my things. My confidence is in my bank account. My confidence is in my riches. And this fits Doeg perfectly because Saul is basically saying, who's my friend? Don't you even feel sorry for me? That's exactly what Saul said. Don't you pity me? Is David promising you riches? Is David promising you power? No, but I am. Doeg says, man, my confidence is in my riches. My strength isn't in God. I'm going after the money. We got a lot of teenagers that are transitioning into full-fledged adulthood, right? You guys have been adults for a long time. You know what I believe. You know, when you can make babies, boink, you're an adult. Hello, welcome to the adult world, right? It's a reality. But you're the most immature adults when you first get that ability that you got to grow up a lot, right? You got to grow up a lot. But a lot of you now, the world would say, you're a man. And you know, because you're 18 and you can grow a beard. Whoa, man, you know, there's some adults that can't put one on like that. You know, I mean, if you could just harvest that and sell it, you know, like a sheep shear, you could make some bucks on that. But the world says you're a man now. You know that? Oh, and then they say you're a real man when you hit 21. You can drink it up. But I want to tell you this. It's what happens is you guys, what are you going to chase? Are you going to put your confidence in something, in someone other than God? And are you going to chase riches? If you do, you're on the path of Doeg. If God is not your strength, if riches are your pursuit, you're on the path. There's a third thing he did. I want you to look at verse 7. The Bible says this. It's an interesting phrase, and it says, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Every person here, I want to tell you, one of the scariest things in the world is when sin doesn't bother you. You know, sin bothers the lost. Do you know that? It does. It does. But there's a point where it doesn't. You want to be a Doeg? You want to be a guy that can do horrible and abominable things, such as killing 85 of God's men, slicing them up, then going to their city, killing the women, the children, all the livestock, and just making a slaughter of the people? Three things the Bible says. He made not God his strength, he trusted in his riches, and he strengthened himself in wickedness. He was wicked, and then he was wicked. It's like this. It's like you're going to go work out. How do you get stronger when you work out? Repetition, isn't it? 3 sets of 10. Put some more weight on there, Junior. You go back every other day. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get stronger. Let me tell you, you repeat your sin. You do your sin. You repeat your sin. You're strengthening yourself in wickedness. You're going to get stronger. You're strengthening yourself in wickedness. And then one day you can do terrible things such as Doeg. That's exactly what the Bible's saying. You strengthen yourself in wickedness. And all of a sudden it takes more wickedness because, you know, when you were young in your wickedness, you could only do the barbell. Now you're really wicked. Put a lot on there. That's what the Bible says, strengthening yourself in wickedness. How did Doeg get to be like he was? He made not God his strength. He trusted in his riches. And he strengthened himself in wickedness. You think you won't be and can't be a Doeg? Every one of us can. Our response should be fear when we see this. What should we do? I'll finish with that. Rounding third and heading for home. Look at verse 8. David, who wrote this psalm, says in verse 8, he said, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." Three things David does. What should we do? I want to ask this question. Anybody want to be a Doeg? But some of you are going down the path of Doeg because you're doing exactly the things of Doeg and you think nobody knows. But I do agree with this. Nobody wants to be a Doeg. You don't. What should we do? Here's what the Bible says in verse 8. The Bible says this, "I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." You need to put your trust in God. You need to put your trust in His mercy. You don't deserve His mercy. You need to fall at His knees and say, "Oh God, repent of your sin. Forgive me of this wickedness," and fall on the mercy of God. The falling on the mercy of God means if He doesn't show you mercy, you're willing to accept the consequences. What the Bible says is this. You going down the path of Doeg? Are you falling into sin? Are you going down some of this path? What the Bible says is this. Fall before God in His mercy. That's what the Bible would say. Don't ever forget, the key to victory is falling before God in repentance and falling before Him and falling on His mercy. When you really repent, you're okay if God brings His wrath. But what we do is we fall on His mercy and we ask Him, "Oh God, have mercy on me. But whatever you do, I trust in you." That's the first thing. Two more, and then we're finished. Two more. Verse 9 says, "I will praise thee forever." First, we fall before God on His mercy forever. Second, the Bible says, "I will praise thee." I want to tell you, the opposite of Doeg. The Bible says that Doeg loved evil rather than good. Praise God. Tell others about how good God is. Tell your friends how good God is. Then it's really tough to brag about your sin, isn't it? Your friends will be so confused because you're bragging about your sin, you're lying about your sin, and then all of a sudden you go, "Isn't God good?" Most people are afraid to say, "Isn't God good?" Right? You just need to go sometime right in the middle of something crazy and just say, "I just want to let everybody know, I love Jesus!" I don't think anybody in here is willing to do that at your job. Let me tell you one of the most neatest things. You remember Danielle Moore. I haven't talked to Danielle in years. I can't tell you where Danielle's at today and whether it was even real. Danielle made a profession of faith. And I'm in trouble because this is on the World Wide Web. But Danielle, if you hear this, I love you. Facebook us and love to hear what the Lord's doing in your life. But you know the odds of that. But just in case, I'm covering myself. Danielle made a profession of faith when I was her youth leader. Deb and I were her youth leaders. And she actually made me feel uncomfortable at times. We would go on activities. And this little girl, teenager, she wasn't a little girl, she's a young woman, young teenager. She was so excited about Jesus Christ that she would write on pieces of paper and put them on the window of our van wherever we were driving. "I love Jesus." Honk if you love Jesus. Everywhere we went, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. You know, well, I look back at that. And that's praising God from your heart? Are you willing to be a fool for Jesus? You want the remedy to not being a dough egg? The Bible says, fall on the mercy of God, repent. The Bible says, praise Him forever. And then this is interesting thing. Look at verse 9 and we're finished. David says this, I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. What I love is, here's what happens. You're convicted of your sin. The Holy Spirit works you over for your sin. You're like, how'd the preacher know? I don't know of anyone in deep, dark sin tonight that's before me. I don't. But I'm going to preach the text that God's given us, right? Psalm 52 is all about this man, Doeg. The Bible says this, fall before God and on His mercy. The Bible says, praise His name forever. And then the Bible says, wait. I will wait on the Lord. You want to know if you've truly repented? You want to know if you're truly going down the path of making it right for God? When you repent, oh, you make it right with God. Isn't that good? Isn't it good to repent? It is good to make it right with God. Isn't that refreshing? And you start telling everybody how good God is. And you'll find out what your motivation was. You know what a lot of our motivations are? Oh, I'm going to repent. Oh, I'm going to praise God. Fix it, Lord. Fix it. Forget that. I'm done. You really repent? You're really sincere? You will fall on His mercy. You will praise Him and you'll keep doing it whether your life gets better or not. The Bible says that the real man will wait on God. You see, I don't know what my motivation is half the time. Do you? Do you know why you do things? I don't know half the time. I want to tell you this. You want to test your repentance. You want to test your turning to God. When nothing changes, a true woman and man of God will say, that's okay, God. You're great anyway. I love you anyway. And I will wait. I beg you, don't be a dough egg. We've seen tonight, I'll go through it quickly. Dough egg sin. He bragged about it. He lied about it. He loved evil more than good. And he loved seeing the destruction of others. The result, God will bring judgment on the dough eggs. And what we should do as Christians, we should fall on our knees in fear before God because but for the grace of God, that there go we. How did it happen? He made not God his strength. He trusted in his riches and he strengthened himself in wickedness. Over and over and over and over again, he kept sinning and strengthen himself in wickedness. What should we do? Because I think we've all found ourselves on the path of Doeg. Have you? I have. Here's what we need to do. Fall before God in His mercy. We need to praise God. And then when everything doesn't get fixed, we'll wait on Him. If your motivation, so sometimes it's hard. Parents, you know, you spank your kids. You ever get in trouble, CJ? Do you ever wonder if he really felt bad about it? Well, the way God knows is, are you willing to wait? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Let's pray.